Welcome to Season 2 of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. In this season, Elizabeth will continue to take you through issues which she has come across in her Gestalt praxis, read about, or simply bumped into just living life. In addition, and new to this season, she hopes to occasionally have a guest on the show. The topics will still relate to mental well-being, existential questions, what makes your life meaningful, and also what makes it heavy. The setup of the episodes will be the same, with a set of headlines which hopefully will make it easier for you to make sense of what you hear. You can read much more about Elizabeth and how she works on her website willegestalt.eu.
Hi again, and welcome to the 17th episode of Gestalt Therapy Living Here and Now. Today's episode is called How We Deal with Loss. I know it's summer, with all the lighter life that this brings to many people, at least where I live. People go on vacation, and even the podcast actually is taking a summer break in August and will be back in September again. Well, I wanted to say that summer and maybe vacation sometimes also mean more time to think and feel and not run around as much as we do the rest of the year. And sometimes this brings up the heavier feelings, some of the heavier feelings like losses we had. So this is what we will look at today. Figure of today. So today I'll talk about how we deal with loss. The subject can have so many angles. I only cover a bit in the 15-20 minutes I have of your time. In the praxis, I of course have had many clients which have worked with loss and many kinds of losses. It can be someone dear you lose, like a relative. It can be something like a house. It can also be a certain stage in life, like I spoke about in episode 6, where we talked about the midlife phase. I mean, the list is endless. Think, for example, also of losing a pet, or how painful it can be losing a job, getting divorced. Well, an important loss is for sure a very unique thing. I must admit that until 2 years ago, when I lost my dad, the kind of loss where it's a close relative you lose has not been something I had a lot of personal experience with. My dad was 94 when he died. He died at home, and we cared for him the last weeks he lived. I don't know if you can talk about a natural or right death, but still, I mean, he was very old. He had a full life. His wish of dying at home could be fulfilled. Still, the whole experience of caring for him towards the end and being part of it all taught me so much more than all the books and articles I have read about bereavement and grief. And this spring, I discovered that I moved into a new phase of this learning and of my grieving process. I spent 2 years being very practical and mainly thinking about the caretaker roles we had in the family, how confusing and yet so meaningful the last weeks and days with him had been, and also the actual death process and so on. The spring here then suddenly memories of small everyday activities I had as a child and teenager with my dad came up, and all the thoughts of his last weeks were not so frequent anymore. Well, for me, it just became crystal clear that even in a very undramatic loss, like my old dad dying, the process we go through can bring surprises and take time. Maybe a lot of time. Well, for sure, life happens all the time. And in between the mourning and the grieving, we go in and out of mourning, and every process is, to a large extent, individual. Of course, I guess I theoretically had known this. I had spoken to many clients in mourning about that the process you go through has no fixed timing. It's not linear and so on. However, I had surprises in my own process. Well, let's move on and look at how this is important. How is this important? How is it important how we deal with loss? Well, very simply, it is important because when we are in the middle of chaos of having lost someone or something very important to us, we do need some kind of reassuring that life will not be so painful, meaningless, or chaotic forever. We do need to get to trust that all the suffering and trouble is there for a reason. And we do need to learn that even if we have experienced a meaningless and horrible kind of loss, we might have moments also right after where we can laugh, feel unworried, maybe even a slight kind of happiness and well-being. We do go in and out of the mourning. Often it's also helpful to realize that mourning and the grieving process can happen with regard to many, many different aspects of life. A lot of young ones might actually at the moment mourn that they have finished the secondary school, even though it's a happy, happy period as well. They mourn that the organized, planned life of living from school year to school year is over for good. Life will never be the same again. And at the moment, it's a lot of mixed feelings to deal with. This is absolutely not something you necessarily need to see a therapist about. It's part of developing, part of life, and still it's mourning a life phase which is over. As long as humans have been on Earth, we have grieved. Grief theory has also been around for many years. For many years, the 5-stage of grief model by Elisabeth Kübler-Ross was used. And even before Kübler-Ross, for example, John Bowlby also used similar stages. The 5 stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. However, this model has been criticized for being too linear, maybe too rigid. We do not necessarily go through a full denial of what has happened before we start being angry about why, for example, the person left us alone. We do go back and forth between the stages, and sometimes we might even be absolutely none of the stages. We're just living our lives. A more common used model for coping with bereavement is the dual process model by Sterber and Schaut. I have no idea how to pronounce this, but please have a look at the description notes there. You can see the names and more info about these models as well. In the dual model, you move back and forth between what they call the loss-oriented mode. This is where you do grief work, denial, breaking bonds, etc. And then restoration orientation mode. It's here you start doing new things, you get distracted from the grief, and new roles and relationships starts to form. And importantly, you go back and forth all the time between the two at the same time as life just happens in you and around you, which you're also part of, as I said before. Finally, it's super important that there is not a set timeline for all of this. As I mentioned with regard to my dad's death, it did surprise me that after 2 years, I suddenly, and not sparked by anything really, felt this detachment through remembering nice stuff, which I had thought I had left and closed and detached from many, many years ago. My experience with clients in mourning, whatever the mourning is about a person, a period in life, a house which they lost, change of life conditions, well, my experience is that it's been an important part of their process, simply understanding that they are not the only ones being, for example, angry with the person they have lost or highly protesting the loss, even though they know cognitively that this is how it is, that it has to be, the house is gone, the marriage is over, it's still a chaos of emotions. It is also good to acknowledge and to integrate that slowly the disorganized behavior we see and feel diminishes. The crying gets less, and it's okay that we sometimes allow ourselves to detach from the loss and its pain. And that it is really, really difficult to get to reorientation and detachment, or whatever you want to call it, if you never allow yourself just to be with it all. Mourning is there for a reason. It does help us not to get out on the other side, as it's often said. No, we don't get out on the other side like that, but to keep living our lives with the loss as part of who we are. It will not help us to squeeze it into a frame or timeline or a box. And losing is part of living. We all go through it in different ways, and we all are unique, and at the same time, there are similar elements in what we go through. This got almost heated. Well, let's move on. A bit about what's Gestalt in all of this. So what's Gestalt in how we deal with loss? This I'm a bit hesitant about. I could say something about the empty chair experiment or about becoming who you are. But with mourning and dealing with loss, I really believe that a very, very important part of any therapy and or counseling is just to be able to be there with a bereaved person. It is so important not to follow any need to fix the situation, to get through it and onwards. Of course, we can talk about hope, wishes for the future, basically moving around in the dual process model of coping with loss. And at the same time, spend moments together in the pain right now, in the frustrations, in the confusions, maybe also in the numbness. At least the client has one place where there is somebody with them who can stay and who can go on and on staying there. And together we can manage to view what happened and what happens in the process from all angles, both from within and from the outside. Even if the loss is completely meaningless, horrible or life-changing. Because what finally will make it possible for us to detach is to dare to go through whatever the loss throws us into. And this we do not have to do alone. In this episode, I have not spoken about when the client is unable to grieve or has been grieving too long. It is my experience that for clients where this is the case, they often come with completely different topics, different focuses and agendas. And sometimes working on this, their figure for the therapy will change. And it becomes clear for us both that mourning is what is happening, either too much or long or maybe too little. Well, this will have to be for another episode, I guess, more about this. Let's move on to closing the Gestalt. Closing the Gestalt. How we deal with loss is different for different people. That's for sure. And still, for many of us, it's nice to know that there are similarities. It is comforting to know that I'm not crazy or losing my mind, which is actually a strange expression. Well, just because I feel like I feel or act like I act during the mourning process. Well, this was all that I had for you in this episode. As I mentioned at the start, there will be a summer break now, and we will for sure be back again in September. Thank you all very much for listening again, and have a lovely summer.
Thanks for listening to this episode. To make sure you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show via your podcast app of choice. Should you have any questions or comments, feel free to get in touch with Elizabeth Wille. You will find all the needed details on the website willegestalt.eu. Just a quick disclaimer, all case stories are anonymized and no clients directly quoted without prior written consent. And remember, any information you hear on this podcast, see on the Wille Gestalt website, Facebook page or Instagram, is for information purposes only and should never be a substitute for actual mental and or medical advice from a doctor, psychiatrist, or any other health professional.